Welcome to Loud Mouth Radio Network. My name is Sunny. As a former professional athlete turned entrepreneur realtor and the producer of Loud Mouth Radio Network, I look forward to bringing content to you that empowers, inspires, and entertains you. Tune in each week as we have unscripted and unfiltered talks from entrepreneurship, real estate, politics, entertainment, comedy, LGBTQ topics, day-to-day life, and everything in between. All shows available on demand 24/7 on your favorite podcast platforms. See you. Hey, pretty girl.
Hello, hello.
Okay. Sorry, I got my hands all over the place. Welcome. Good afternoon. It's Sunday, June 2nd. And I have a very special guest. And I'm having a very special conversation. So now I can see you. Can you see me?
I can see you.
Okay, good. I have a very special guest here. And I actually got to pull my phone again because I got my little notes. So I want to introduce my special guest and a special conversation today. So this is an intimate conversation, and we're having a discussion about unmasking narcissistic relationships. And my special guest is Germany Faith Jones, a mother to two boys, a middle child, a sister to an older brother and a younger brother, a budding entrepreneur who over the last year obtained her bartender's license in the state of Georgia. After a long-term goal of over 15 years of working to get away from a life of sex trafficking and survivor prostitution from a young adult age, at one point, Faith was able to turn herself into an adult entertainer producer, but it didn't come with many moments of violence and huge levels of uncertainty and safety. After having her first son, in the midst of an unhealthy or toxic relationship, Faith struggled with caring for a young son with no family support of her own. This would eventually lead to a bad breakup and an angry ex that wasn't the boy's father, who would later decide to take her son and keep him in hiding for over 4 years until she was able to get him back from another woman that was also dealing with the same toxic connections to the same man who was in fact the father of her young son. Faith would come to know that her son had been less than 45 minutes away from her the entire time without support from law enforcement or public outcries. Faith would become a preferred alias name that better aligned with her life's journey. That in spite of battling 30 years of mistreatment and character assassination from her own mother, Germany would embrace the name Faith as a symbol of her own perseverance and attitude toward life that God had not truly forgotten nor forsaken her. So I want to introduce to some and reintroduce to many, many, many others, Miss Germany Faith Jones, who is also, ironically, my bonus daughter. That has become one of the positive things I can say and now see from 10 years of toxicity of my ex-wife, who also happens to be her mother. Namaste and welcome, honey.
Hello, hello.
So I had to give that whole dissertation. You deserve that opportunity. Which is why I said I'm introducing and reintroducing, because if you see me looking away, it's just because I'm doing my producer stuff as we're talking.
Okay.
And one of the things I think is so important here is that today, I may interactively call you Faith, I may say Germany, but Germany, Dominique Jones, I'll tell you your whole name. Germany is your God, your birth name, and Faith is your God-given name. How about that?
Right, right.
Okay. So I wanted to say that I may interactively go back and forth about saying both your names, because I do actively use both those names with you. And that way I won't confuse anybody that's listening or watching. And I want to start off this conversation and say that this is not a necessarily easy conversation. It's not an easy topic. But I think one thing that's incredible is that this moment to me reflectively shows me that there is a possibility of healing, of grace, forgiveness, acknowledgement of wrongdoing,
right?
a moment of self-accountability. And I just kind of wanted to say that to you publicly. And I'm nervous. So if you see me kind of feeling jittery, this is not an easy moment. It's a well-needed moment, but it's not an easy moment because we are examples of what healing can become. Because
Right.
our interaction and our relationship has always not been this.
At all.
And I'm saying all of these things first, and then I'm gonna let you have the floor because I wanted to publicly acknowledge the fact that, for over the last 10 years, now 12 plus, right? You were introduced to me in a way in which was not the completeness of who you are. And
Right.
because of that misconstrued introduction, we've had a volatile interaction and relationship, right?
Right.
And so I want to, I've already expressed so much and gave an introduction of you, and I want to allow you to be able to speak beyond me saying those things, but I wanted to establish the floor first and just say
Right.
thank you for, being this transparent in this moment.
Well, thank you.
You are so welcome and so deserving. And as this conversation gets deeper, people will understand why. But what would you like to start at first?
It's so much. You already gave
I
the
know.
gist of a lot of things. Like you were saying, at 18, I ended up finding myself being homeless out in Atlanta streets for like 6 months. After my uncle kicked me out, I ended up doing hair on the streets just to survive and sleeping at people's houses and, giving up my body just to do those things to survive. And I met a singing group on tour for doing hair. I went to Indiana and was at a Black Expo. This is probably like around 2005, something like that. I ended up going out there meeting a singing group from Miami, and one of the guys happened to be a pimp, and he was a very great friend of mine. I didn't judge him for his things, but I was just like, I grew up in the church. I don't want to do those type of things, but I don't have a problem doing your hair. You're cool. You know what I mean? We talked over a while, and then once things started to get a lot more heavy for me in my life, in Georgia, as we returned, a mutual friend of ours, who was also a client, that I used to do their hair, ended up giving them a phone call and telling them, she's in a rough place. All to know now that I'm older that I was in a situation where I was with a madam, and which is a female pimp. And
Right.
never knew that until I was older and realized about the whole game, pretty much. Once he gave him a phone call, I was able to, get a new ID, get on the bus, and I became a dancer as soon as I got off the bus. So, I had my shoes, my clothes, I was ready to go. I worked that same day, and from then on, I was
You were introduced into stripping pretty much.
right. Stripping, prostitution, all of that, at 18. So, life kind of went a little bit faster than I expected. And then, I couldn't really rely on my mother at that time because, I was in cosmetology school. This was not the life that I was supposed to be living. I was doing pretty good until, my mom decided to chase whatever dream she decided to chase in New York and left me with my 14-year-old brother. So, me graduating at 16 and coming from Virginia to Atlanta and, being with my mom and just being excited to be back with my brother and my mother, for her to leave for months at a, at a time and left us with nothing. So that ended up having to be a struggle when I, immediately when I came to Georgia after high school. So, I immediately had to be a sister, a mom, and a student all at the same time. So life was
Wait,
heavy
right. And you
already.
16?
Yeah, I went to military school
Oh,
in
wow.
Virginia.
In Virginia. So you said, so were you all, you weren't always with your dad?
No, I was with my mom.
For how long?
I lived with my mom from birth till about 12 and a half.
How was that for you?
You said what?
How was that for you? Just, those first 12 years. How were they for you?
Amazing and horrible all at the same time.
And what does
We
that?
had we had with my family, we had some adventurous times, you know what I mean? My mom was always a person like, let's get up and go, let's, you know what I mean? We would dress up in wedding gowns just to go to Ryan's, like a Golden Corral here in Georgia. And
Everybody used to
you know what
mess
I mean? It
around.
was just an exciting, you know, as a kid, it was exciting to do different things, you know what I mean? Like spontaneous things, but it also never gave us stability because we were always moving from school to school. I never stayed in one school. You know what I mean? I went to maybe five or six different schools by the time I was 12, you know what I mean? And then
Then why were you not? So let me say this, Germany Faith, either one. If at any moment I ask you something that you want me to hold or just stop or just tell me, give me a minute. That's gonna be IQ. Just give me a
right.
minute. If you need to not answer or if you need that real second for a moment, that's fine. And
Right.
if something that we get into is too much or whatever, you just tell me.
Right. Right.
So, because I know you to a degree. And I've had to come to get to know you for myself and
Right.
not based upon what I was told. So
Right.
that's kind of why I'm asking those questions. So up until the age of 12, because this is the funny part. I inherited you in the marriage, but we didn't have this prior to
Right.
all of the time periods. So this
Right.
is new for me. So up until the age of 12, moving place to place and place to place, why was that kind of happening for you like that?
Well, number one, my mom was in a very abusive relationship. She was married to a man that beat her and also beat us, and she wasn't really, well, from my recollection, she wasn't aware of, you know, I mean, the abuse that was going on toward her children. But it just was, I don't really know. I mean, I think it was kind of an impulse type of move. It was like it was time to go. When that time was up, it was time to go, or it was another job, you know what I mean?
Because I
It,
remember, so this is the first marriage you were speaking of.
yeah,
And
yeah.
I remember her telling me that she met her first husband and married in a week, got married in a week.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
And that's who I knew to be my father, because of course she was pregnant with me. And then I, you know, when I was born, that's who I knew as my father. I never knew my real father until probably, or never knew that was my father, until I was probably about 12.
are you familiar?
Yeah, I didn't I had pictures with him. I didn't know that was my dad. I always thought he was my uncle.
Oh, wow.
And so my little brother's dad was the person that I
You thought that you were your
considered
father.
was my father.
Wow.
So, you know, all of me and my brothers and my siblings, we all have different fathers. So, you know what I mean? Mine was a prom night, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like, you know, it was a type of relationship, you know, probably like my brothers had a relationship, you know, she had a relationship with them. Me, I kind of, you know, adapted to being trying to be, you know, I was more felt like I was a daddy's girl, and you know what I mean? And he had his own issues, whatever the case may be, but it was, you know, very
About your birth
physical.
father. Oh, you
Well,
think
I
about
don't know. I didn't
no,
know if I was
your adopted
my
father.
stepfather,
Yeah,
right?
it's
My
my father.
adopted father.
Okay.
And, you know, he had his issues. I don't know what that was. I mean, he really, like, I know it was a lot of insecurities as well, because I mean he wasn't, able to read as well, and you know what I mean, certain things he wasn't able to do. So, I guess that kind of, turned
Insecurity.
a different way, and he directed that anger toward, us as kids, and it was quite horrible. I mean, we ended up having to leave my mom for a little while and went to a foster home, and
So
my
even
mom.
in the foster home, and the funny part is that I think for me, Faith, in this conversation, like I'm interrupting because I was told something differently. I was led to think something and told something differently. In the foster home moment, I was also told that was a matter of like some days, maybe. In reality, how long were you in foster care?
Visiting there for maybe a few months,
Okay.
some months, yeah, like a few months. Because I mean, of course, we had to go back to the judge. I mean, the judge wasn't letting us go when a man has thrown my brother, my oldest brother, who broke his back. You know what I mean? My oldest brother fell from an 18-story building and broke his whole entire back and had to learn how to walk again. And so,
Wait a minute, he failed?
yeah, we were on a field trip. It was on the news in North Carolina.
Yeah, I do remember that. I do
Yeah.
remember that. Okay,
And
okay.
so, for him to accomplish so much and be in the army now is amazing. But, my oldest brother was really blamed for a lot of things. And that was in my own doing too. But as far as the foster home, I'm the reason why we went to foster care, because I'm the one who told.
Ooh, we got some things in common, honey. Go ahead. We're
And
going.
no one knew that I was the person that told, because I was tired of getting beat on. I was tired of losing consciousness. I was tired of my mom's arm getting broken, her hair getting shaved off. And I was tired of, like us just struggling sometimes. You know what I mean? I mean, we weren't living like really bad, but when it got bad, it got bad. You know what I mean? It was nothing
Right.
there but to, try to make it out of the mud. My mom worked as hard as she could, and I admired her. That was like my number one fan.
At the
And
time, you were like how old? 10, 12, something like
I
that.
was like third grade. I'm
Oh,
third grade.
so you were like 9, 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So then
Yeah.
after y'all came out of foster care, and then you say you end up taking care of your brother.
Yeah.
And how did you end up taking care of your brother, your younger?
Well, after I left Georgia, 12, I went with my dad. My dad ended up kind of taking me from my mom on a visit.
Okay.
And so he never told her, he was bringing me back. Nothing. There was no communication. So my dad basically kind of kidnapped me from my mom and was like, you're gonna live with us and be safe, and things like that. So I basically I left, and I lived with my dad for about maybe 5, 6 years. No, 6 years, 6 going on 7 years. And then once I graduated, I moved. I called my mom, and she had booked the ticket for me to come back without my parents knowing. And so my parents had to pick me up from military school and drop me off, and I went back, came back to Atlanta. But when I got back to Atlanta, everything was okay. I went to Empire Beauty School. My mom signed me up for financial aid, get to beauty school. We were living in Decatur, nice townhouse. Things were okay. I was, starting to try to find little jobs here and there or whatever, but
And the dad that you thought you were, was your dad, was he still in the picture then?
No, he had been gone.
Okay.
He had left before I, well, let me see. Before I left and went with my dad, my mom ended up getting divorced with my stepfather. And I remember us going to the grocery store. And my mom was into, we were into a lot of different cultures, you know what I'm saying? Like, African culture, so we love to wear different, the headdresses and the outfits,
She
dashikis and stuff like that. So she had an outfit, from Nigeria. She had an outfit on. And I guess one of the people that worked there, he was from Nigeria. And they, I guess, my mom became smitten with him. And probably within a week of her being divorced, she got married.
to the new guy.
Yeah, and I remember me coming to her with tears in my eyes, and I said, "Mommy, please, please don't marry him." I said, "He's gonna do the same thing that Marvin did to you." You know what I mean? That, oh, I'm
Name.
so sorry. That her
Marshall,
husband had
Marshall.
just to her. But
Right.
so, of course I'm a child, so I had to stay in a child's place as I was told, and she was grown.
Right.
So since
So
she
now
was
you
grown,
have a new, so you so now you got another week old dad. Okay.
right, and
Okay.
so he was cool until he wasn't. You know what I'm saying? And his family was off the chain. I mean, they were cool. I mean, I love the culture. We learned a lot. You know what I mean? But he was a con artist. And kind of made her into a different person. You know what I mean? It was already bad enough from the first marriage, and then you go into another crazy situation where another person is, you know what I mean? So,
But the common denominator situation becomes
right.
right. But anyway.
Right. So, I think they were together for about maybe 3 years or so. And she went through a lot with him, and it came to a point where when I would come, around his family and stuff, his brothers were a little bit more too nice to me. And I would mention that sometimes, you know what I mean? And it was kind of like brushed under the rug, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is not, what I think it is. Because back in the day when they had the roller lip gloss, I used to have mouths popping. My little lips was just be glistening like I had a Crisco on it. You know what I'm saying? So,
Oh, well. And how old were you
it was a very,
then?
huh?
How old were you around that time?
This is right before probably 11.
Okay.
11 by the time 12. So, like, I was able, about 11 to 12, and I would go and spend the night over my cousins, of course, my new cousin's house, and we would all have to sleep in a bed with him, and you know what I mean? One of his
Oh,
brothers,
man.
my mom's husband's brother.
Oh no.
Yeah, so it would just be uncomfortable little situations here and there, but after a while, then my dad, of course, rescued me from that situation. I hated him for it because now he made me a only child, and so
Oh yeah.
I went from
I was
having
going to
two
say, so your older brother and younger brother were left to stay with the mother,
with my mom.
with your mom in that situation.
Yeah.
How were they just,
They dealt. I don't. They
well,
don't really talk too much about it. I mean, they just know that, that kind of destroyed my mom in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? And they had to go through every situation, every relationship that my mother went through. They definitely went through.
right.
And
So they lasted 3 years. You go to Virginia with your dad, and then you end up coming back. And you say, I remember you mentioned something about you was with your brother, and your mom went to New York, and you were left taking care of him. And
yeah, with maybe a month and a half worth of food, and I had no job, and I was going to school all the way in Gwinnett, so I had to take the train, the bus, you know what I mean? And then of course she was sent, she'll pay bills every now and then, but the whole main thing, if the rent is $1,000 and I have no job, you know what I mean? And then now the food's gone because my little brother wants to eat everything. And you know what I mean? Now I'm making phone calls to her friends. "Hey, can I clean your house? Can I do your hair? You know what I mean? $30, $40, anything, you know what I mean?" And That was pretty much a lot to have to deal with when all I'm trying to do is go to school and do hair like you wanted me to do. You know what I mean? My dad did hair as well, so it was like a family legacy, you know what I mean, for me to carry that on. But there's a lot of different obstacles in that, in the midst of that. Now, afterwards, my oldest brother didn't know, my uncle didn't know that we were over there struggling the whole time, and no mom. She ended up calling, like she would call every now and then. She'd be like, "Hey, I'm doing good, and you
But
know, I'm in bed."
how long was she gone at this point? Like,
Months, like I'd say about 6, 7, maybe 8 months. We were gone for a long time. And then when she did come, she came and got him, and I ended up having to stay with my uncle after he moved us in. You know what I mean? At first, it was, I would bring food by. And then all of a sudden, they're like, "Well, what's going on? Like, we're not going to keep bringing food to you. What's up?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. My mom ain't never came back." By that time, the phone was off. My life was being cut off. And, me and my brother, I'm still older. We still fight. We still combative because he's in alternative school. He gets kicked out of alternative school for doing crazy stuff. So now I'm like, okay, I can't even.
That was really his own reaction of the instability.
Right. And so now I'm like, I can't even control him. What am I supposed to do? I gotta go to school. I can't focus on school. Now I'm hungry. I go to school every day. Now I can't eat. People trying to feed me. You know what I mean? And this has happened more than one time that I've tried to complete school, and messed up things have happened. But I mean, she didn't come back for a while, and then when she did come back, I was already, thank God I had, she had introduced me to one of her friends that was a celebrity hairstylist, and I was doing good for a while. And then that's when, stuff started getting good, and meeting celebrity clients, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. It was cool. And then my uncle decided he wanted to put me out because he thought I was having sex for money in his house. So that's how I ended up homeless for 6 months on the street,
How were you,
because
18?
I had turned 18.
And where was your mom at that point?
She had came and picked up her son and moved to Savannah, I guess, to live in her car.
Oh, the car time period. Yeah, okay.
Well, she had her kitchen in the back seat, and
This is the part I got to go to this because, of course, here we are. Germany, we got a lot in common. And I think the part that over the last year I had to come to realize, like, once you know how you end something, you can't really see the whole picture. Unfortunately, these narcissistic type of things is that people will paint the picture. They'll get you to believe certain things. They'll precondition you to think this, tell you these different stories, these narratives. So you already could, I use the word conditioning. That's the best way I can explain it. So I personally have the same level of understanding of having a toxic relationship as far as having difficulties with your with a mom and daughter, right? And then the family dynamic, because the bad part about it is the main person who you think is going to protect you, when they start creating and spinning narratives about you, and then you, as a child, like you say, child supposed to be in a child place, you're not supposed to speak up, you're not supposed to say stuff, in our house you weren't supposed to speak. It was that thing, don't, what happens in my house stay in my house type of generation, because we're in that generation. We're about 10 years, a little bit more of a 10 to 12 years apart, so we're not that far away from each other in age, but it's enough to understand that you came from that same rearing, that you don't say what's going on, even as dysfunctional and as crazy as it is. And young, and you come up in those situations, you don't understand that this is actually dysfunction, it's your normality. So until somebody or something or the situation gets so out of control, you don't necessarily understand what's going on, right?
Right.
But one of the things that I can say is that, of course, our interaction, as a woman, at some point, and this is the funny part, I know you said you grew up in church. And so my ex, your mother, even with me meeting her, she was this church person. So we talking two men. So where did the woman situation, like, where did that?
Where
And
did that stir the pot? When she's
yes.
over there being a heathen now. No, I'm not just saying. Now she went to Savannah and she came back with a roommate, supposedly. And I was still with my uncle at his house. I still stayed there. My oldest brother was about to go to the army, and she came with the news, like, guys, I want you to meet my roommate, and she's been real helpful, whatever. And then maybe, I think maybe a month. Maybe a month later, she was saying, "Oh, I need all my kids to be in Savannah, Georgia for my wedding."
Okay. So how does that even how did y'all even deal with that, knowing that, my mom, the same thing, holy roller, growing up in church and
I thought she was a hypocrite. I thought she was a liar. I didn't want no parts of it because that's not what you taught me. You know what I mean? And for so long, my mom, because I played basketball, my mom was like, calling me a bulldagger the whole time. Like, I thinking I was gonna be a butch girl or gay because I wore baggy clothes and played basketball. So, and I'm like, how the tables have turned. You love sushi now. Like, it is what it
Oh, not sushi.
is. Yeah. So,
Not sushi. So for
yeah, I mean, I'm not even gonna lie, because of a woman that has grown up to be a prophetess and, I mean, an evangelist and in the church and, I mean, all these things. And my great grandmother was a bishop and, I mean, my grandmother was in the church. This is what we know. This is all we know is God and the church. And these are things that you taught me that, oh, being
that she
gay
used to
was wrong,
condemn you about, that you were being condemned
and
about.
judge all of the people that were. You know what I
Right.
mean? And so it really, we took it a lot harder because, what I mean? You lied, number one, and told us this was your friend and roommate. All the while, this was a whole relationship that you were hiding. When you could have just been probably, we probably would have took it better if she was honest and saying, came to us in a different way instead of just bringing it up on everyone in the whole family. So it was a big shock. And
And
she got.
so this level of surprise, I'm sure, was probably a lot. So there wasn't an engagement per se. I don't know. This is now
No.
marriage number three. I don't know how many engagements there were prior to this marriage, but
It's probably a lot more, but she—I mean, she said her share of. I can say this: man and woman. My mother's never been with anybody that's never had any money. They've always had a car. They've always had their own house. They've had good credit, great credit, businesses, money, and.
and when we done, we over here broke, disgusted, bamboozled, in
And
therapy, crippled
word.
financially, mentally, and emotionally. Ask me, I know.
And I've never been anywhere outside of the country with no money. Listen, I've never. Listen. And my mom's been over the world with donations and people just want to bless her and what I mean? And this person is wanted to send her somewhere and it's cool. And I can't even lie. A lot of things that my mom has done, I've repeated, but I've gotten paid. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not going anywhere where I wasn't getting any compensation. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna go somewhere where I was struggling. So that, I mean, a lot of ways, you know, my mom did, did her thing, but this was a whole totally new avenue of,
So we
her
still
dealing with
stop.
the whole woman. It was
Right.
a lot different.
So this the first moment of hearing this situation. So did y'all go to the wedding?
Yeah.
How?
Unfortunately, we did. It was a house wedding. You
Okay.
know what I mean? Wasn't that many people that showed up, but me and my oldest brother were very upset. We didn't like it at all. My little brother had to accept it because he was the youngest.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we had nothing against the lady. The lady was cool. It's just the deception in it. You know what I mean?
I get that.
For so many years of a woman judging or saying these things are not right, or you know what I mean? Your word is your bond, and that's how we felt. Like my mom, yeah, she could do wrong, but that's what my mom said. That's what we're going. You know what I mean? So, for it to be that, it was just like I we. For me, I didn't talk to my mom after that for probably about a year and a half,
Wow.
year, 2 years after. And then that's when everything kind of trickled down when, you know what I mean, I ended up in Florida. And I what my story to everyone, which I did lie, and I told them that I was going to another celebrity hairstylist to work for somebody in Florida, which all the while was I'm going to survive. Because I felt like nobody at that point really cared. You know what I mean? I didn't have no mama that really gave a damn at that point. And then my uncle was, he was young, making his little millions, doing his mortgage and, living his life. So, you know what I mean? He wanted his own house to himself. And now I understand that, but it was just the way that, and people kind of did things toward me. That was kind of unfair, you know what I mean? Because I really wasn't doing anything to anybody but trying to do make
Trying
a
to
life for myself, you know what I mean?
exactly.
So
So you get to Florida, and for you, what's the dynamics with, that, like, I guess you say your mom got married at that point, she's in Savannah, your brother's there. How long? So you ended up being in Miami and you were pretty much homeless.
well, in Miami, I had a place to live as soon as I got off the bus. The difference was I was in Georgia, I was sleeping outside.
Got you.
So, at train stations, at, on park benches, and, wherever I could, staying with my uncle's friend for a little bit. Then they got kicked out. Then I stayed with, one of my classmates, for a little bit, and that didn't work. You know what I mean? They had family going on. So it was just a lot of bouncing around, still the same thing that I was doing when I was little. It
Right.
was continuing to happen in my almost adult life.
Right.
And so Miami was a place to live, a place to work, and a place to have some food.
Okay. I get it. I lived in Florida too, so I understand.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, I didn't care, pimp or not. I had security, I had a place, you know what I mean? And I was ready to do and be whatever anybody needed me to be at that point.
Right.
So, yeah.
So once you kind of end up being there, and I know that, at the age factor you're talking about, you became a mom shortly, some years ago within that realm, or.
After speeding up, some years later, I initially was told I would never get pregnant. Let's just put that there. I was always told I would never have kids. I was not barren.
Doctor or something?
Yeah, from the doctor. I was always told I would never have children. And so the fact that I even got pregnant more than once was a miracle to me in itself. I ended up having my first pregnancy at 21, and ended up the person that I was with ended up making me get an abortion at 6 months. And then maybe a year, you know, 2 years later, I ended up getting pregnant again by the same person, and ended up not knowing. Both times I didn't know I was pregnant. So when I left this last time, I had happened to be 3.5 months pregnant and didn't know the whole time. So I was just out there just doing whatever, you know, surviving and working and hustling and doing what I had to do and escaping from another person that was, you know, taking advantage. You know what I mean? Somebody I did love and cherish and, you know, tried to build something with who also was pimping me. It was just too much. I was the bottom and I was running pretty much the whole camp, and you know, when things started to get rough, I had to go. And I left millions of dollars in a name. I left cars. I left big house. I left everything because it was either my life or it was me staying in a miserable place. And maybe it was, I didn't even know I was pregnant. So that would have been another baby that would have been gone. You know what I mean? So yeah, at 23, I ended up having my oldest son, 4 pounds, 11 ounces. And, he was my miracle baby, fought hard just like his mom fought hard, and now he's 15, standing strong, about to be in ninth grade. Woo-woo. So you know, I'm excited. And then I, you know,
He's a miracle in itself, and
yeah, he is.
you know,
It's had it rough.
yeah,
Extremely.
and it was amazing that, you know, I remember when I met you after I said I do. And at the time when I met you, you didn't have him, you didn't know where it was. And I remember we had gotten married, and then within days your brother got married, and we was at your brother's wedding, and we all met, and you told me what was going on. Your mom had told me about him not being with you and not knowing where he was. But after our discussion, I remember telling you, I said, you know, we drove back together, and I remember telling you that you're gonna find him. If I don't do nothing else, I'm gonna help you find him. And you know, like I mentioned in the beginning, to find that he was somewhere right in your grips. Crazy. Well, so once you left him and you had the baby, were you back in Georgia?
I actually moved with my mother in Chicago when I got pregnant. And so I went,
Wait a
tried
minute.
the.
Let me listen. You left in Savannah, now she's in Chicago. So
Oh,
she.
she ended up, oh, well, shoot, I fast forwarded too much, huh? She had got a divorce.
Oh.
But she had got a divorce from that lady, and ended up, by the time I was 23, she was with another young woman, who lived in Chicago, ex-police officer. And I reconnected with my mom. It seemed like every time I got pregnant, my mom knew. And so I would go and, you know, she would offer her help. And, you know, wherever I was, my mom's like, no, okay, you're gonna come with me. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna do this, the baby and all this. It's cool. And then it was probably the worst, the one of the worst situations that I had to go through,
When you went to her,
when I went and allowed her to help me again. Yeah. It was a lot. It was difficult. I mean, it was good to get in school, but to go to school and not be able to eat, you know what I mean? And you're pregnant, or you know, just the relationship was just, it was existent, but it was fake. And I hadn't been around my mother
Mother.
in so long, you know, it was like, you know what I mean, like a show. Still kind of the same round of how I was when I was a kid, when we're getting beat up at home and then we go to church and everything's fine.
Baby, ooh, girl, stop. Let me tell you something, Jeremy. You done hit a nerve, honey, because it's so funny. I'm having this conversation, and literally, that exact type of sentiment, my same experience. You know, for me, my mother and I have had toxicity, you know, and my mother, she had a stroke over 10 years ago, and now she's dealing with a form of dementia. And
Right.
I had to come to a point of recognizing that this toxicity, the narcissistic treatment, the crazy aspects of going to church and we in the choir and I'm playing the instrument, she in the church and big hat and all this and big personality and fashion, the fashion fair, you know.
Right.
So that whole personality sounds familiar, right?
Yes.
And but also, going from, we leaving the house and you busting me upside my head and calling me out of my name, and then we walking into the church and we singing praising the Lord, and it's like this seems contradictory and crazy. And yeah, and you don't realize that the relationships that you're drawing, the experiences that you're drawing is coming from these foundations of where your beginnings in the areas of where your developmental, a friend of mine says your developmental ages are extreme. That time period between like 7 to 12 years old. And that imprint is a lot of what possibly can be what the rest of your life can look like, because of the influential aspects of your life. And so when you say that, it's like, yeah, it's like that experience. And it's ironic, is precisely the element of how I recognize with your mom that I saw these aspects of my mom in her and how she carried herself and the way she did certain things and how she handled, which drew me to her. You see what
Right,
I'm saying?
right.
And when you say, you reconvening and you guys having that time period and it was unhealthy. And when you're pregnant, that's one of the most important times, that what you're dealing with is transcending to your baby, right? And it affects you.
Yeah.
Affecting that baby too, So now you're in Chicago, you've had the baby, and you're now trying to, it sounds like you're trying to rebuild yourself again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I ended up having to leave. I didn't actually get a chance to have the baby in Chicago. I was
This
actually
is my
thrown. I was
hometown.
kicked out. I was kicked out. My things were thrown down a steps, and I was told to get out. And that was by my mother, all because I didn't want to impose on my friend. I was already had a bus ticket from my aunt in Charlotte. And she was gracious enough to be the family that I really need,
And this was
and support
on your mom or dad's side.
on my dad's side. My dad's stepmother, I mean stepmom's, daughter. So this will be my dad's stepsister. You know what I mean? Who I still consider my family. You know what I mean? My grandmother and my aunt. And they. Welcome me since I was a since birth, you know what I mean? So I've known them to be my family
So
all my
you
life.
have more stability from the dad's side versus the mom side of things.
Yeah, I mean, I did my dad's mother never liked me. So she only before she died, maybe I think about four years. So like 4 years, like up until 4 years ago, she didn't want to have a relationship with me. Only on Facebook, she said.
Oh
she was okay with me having a Facebook relationship, but
no.
not a physical up
Girl,
close relationship only
people.
because she was upset with my grandfather for cheating on her with the
Ooh.
woman that I call my grandmother. So I've had a lot of rejection on both sides. Yeah, pretty much. My dad's side was a lot more stable. But I wouldn't say I had very much connections with a lot of people. So like I don't know a lot of my dad's family, but I know, you know what I mean? Like my grandfather, I was able to meet my grandfather and be around my grandfather from my aunt. You know what I mean? Who's my dad's stepsister, you know what I'm saying? So and my grandmother, those are the people that was able to allow me to be around different family members. Now my mom's family, we all grew up like brothers and sisters, my cousins, you know what I mean? They changed my diapers. And my grandmother was like my best friend. That was my ace boon coon. Me and her was a lot alike. You know what I mean? She was
Your
very blunt
mother's
and
mother.
we were and you know, and she's very well missed. I was fortunate to be around my great grandmother before she passed, you know. So I've always grown up old, old soul. And so I just didn't have very big connections with a lot of people. I wasn't allowed to, you know, be around certain people. So I wasn't able to experience regular family type of things
Yeah.
like a normal kid should have. You know what I mean?
Right. I
So
do. So you didn't stay in Chicago. You ended up going from Chicago to back to North Carolina, and then the baby at some point, this situation with him gets pulled into another d dynamic, right? And this is another guy that you end up seeing, right?
We had been together before I left Chicago. He ended up having a warrant, and I convinced him like, let's just go ahead and get taken care of, thinking that he was the father of my child, not knowing it was my previous partner's baby. So I ended up getting into a relationship with him very quickly. And so, of course, he thought he was the father. I thought so too. But, you know, while I was pregnant, I was just, you know, like, it's almost time for me to have the baby. Let's talk about DNA. Because I did just leave my last partner, you know what I mean? I want to make sure everything is, you know, up and up. And no, he was like, no, I know this is my baby and all this. I'm like, okay. So I finally get to North Carolina. You know, I had complications with my baby, of course. My son ended up being hospitalized up until Obama's inauguration. He ended up getting out. And once he got out, I ended up going back to my aunt's house for a little while. And then, you know, my partner that he ended up, you know, resolving his legal issues. We came back together and eventually I ended up moving down to Miami with him, and we ended up, you know, getting an apartment and stuff like that, and things were good. I mean, things were great. We had, you know, no problems. Everything was good, and you know, after I think about maybe 5 months, five, I think my baby was like maybe 5 months. It was starting to become an issue. And we had our one first altercation, and I tried to call the police because he put his hands, threw my baby on the couch, and it was just a whole big physical, you know, thing. We were on the balcony and went from the balcony. You know what I mean? I'm being scared that my baby's gonna be tossed over the balcony. You know what I mean? It was just a lot. And I ended up not being able to call the police. He broke my phone and called the police on me. They told him to leave, and once he left, I began to pack all me and my baby's stuff, and he came back right after, like an hour later, and sat in the house after the police told him to leave. And I was really trying to get away, but I couldn't at that time. The next day, I ended up having my best friend come pick me up, and he wouldn't let me take my baby with me. You know what I mean? So he ended up getting a restraining order on me and a temporary custody
Of your child.
of my child.
So you
And
had the DNA at that time, or you did?
I didn't have no DNA, but come to find out, probably the reason why he was snapping was because his baby mother got a DNA test for him done behind my back, and it came out as a 33%
For your son?
for my son.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So
And
then.
so, the judge granted him custody of my baby. And for a few months or whatever, he kept showing up to my job. At that time, I was back dancing in the club. He would show up to my job with the police saying that I kidnapped my baby, and I would steal my phone and tell them that I stole something from him. And it was just
Toxic.
that went on for about at least 4 or 5 months. You know what I mean? I ended up finally being able to kidnap my baby back, and me and my best friend ended up getting my baby, and I ended up leaving and going back to my aunt's house. Well, I get a phone call from a detective in Miami saying if I do not bring my baby back to Florida, that they will be calling the people in Charlotte to come ar and arrest me and to transport me and my child back to Florida because I kidnapped my own child from his father.
And he wasn't his father.
And he wasn't his daddy.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went through a lot with
Well, you
him.
know what's crazy? It's like you were taken from your mom in a struggle with your father, and then it turned around and happened for you with your. Wow. Okay. So then, so in, in that time period, what was the support from your other side of your family? Like, because I know you keep talking about your dad's side. Were you able to get any support from your family that on your maternal side to help with the situation at that time? No, nothing. So are you literally you're in North Carolina and you go back to Florida, and then at that point, how old was he when that happened?
It wasn't even a year.
Oh God, okay.
Yeah, so I had to bring him back. When I brought him back, we ended up having to do the restraining order again. It was a big thing, and then he just
So you
ended
put
up
the
I
restraining order
ended
on
up
him.
yeah, and then it of course it expired after a while, whatever. It wasn't really like he kept showing
Temporary.
up.
Right,
It was
temporary.
temporary. So after a while, it made it to a point where he would be over all the time. So, at a particular time I had to work, and he took care of the baby and didn't bring my child back. And that's how I never saw him after 4 years. I think he was 7 months.
When they took him, and then you didn't see him
I
again.
didn't see him
Wait, did
for
he
four
like
more years. I
right?
didn't see my son again until he was five.
Wow.
And then if he did allow me to see him, it was to bring money or buy gifts or
He wouldn't let you release him in your
oh
without.
no. And then I think one birthday party we went to Chuck E. Cheese, and one of my ex-best friend called the police, and he convinced the police with his 33% DNA that he was the father, and I could not take my child with me.
Wow.
So anytime that I went to the police departments, the police tried to lock me up for telling them someone kidnapped my child who was not his father. And you know, I had five detectives around me, surrounding me, accusing me of throwing my baby in the trash, and why would you give him to a stranger? And you know what I mean? It was a
Oh,
lot.
that's traumatic, man.
It's a lot.
You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network.